Corsican Brothers, from the novel by Alexandre Dumas. When Lucien de Franchi spoke with Pierre Godet concerning the vengeance he took on his brother's behalf, which affected the beautiful Émilie Latouche, he hinted that there was a final blow to her pride and happiness. This action he took because of the dastardly treatment which his brother received at her hands. This vengeance came in the form of a letter addressed to Captain Chateau-Renaud, and which he received as soon as he arrived in Paris. It revealed to him the whole incident of Amelie and her midnight visit. And so we find Captain Chateau-Renaud facing his pretty wife in her mother's drawing room, asking her to explain the meaning of the letter.
Well, I'm waiting for your explanation, Amelie.
I don't know what to say.
This letter suggests that you went to the rooms of your ex-fiancé at midnight. That you were acting as though you were still engaged to him and not married to me. Perhaps even more than that.
Oh, no. No, no.
Well, I'm waiting for your explanation.
Oh, Paul, I love you. I love you.
You love me. And yet you go and visit your ex-fiancé at midnight at his apartment?
No, no.
Then this letter is not true, not correct?
No, no, of course it isn't. He's lying. Yes, that's it, Paul. The man's lying.
Lying? Would a man take such an incredible step as to write a letter like this? Of a woman whom he knows to be married?
Yes, yes. Oh, Paul, there is so much I have to tell you. Don't be annoyed with me. Please don't be annoyed. He was madly infatuated with me, Paul. That's why he wrote the letter. They say that when people are very much in love, they lose their reason. I honestly believe that Louis must have lost his reason when he wrote you that letter.
Then you didn't. And you didn't go to his apartment.
Of course I didn't. Oh, Paul, how can you think such a thing? Go to the apartment of a man like Louis de Franchi after I met you? Why, he couldn't hold a candle to you. I never gave him another thought after I met you. Honestly, I didn't. Oh, you believe me, Paul, don't you? Please, please, darling. You do believe me.
Emily, you look very beautiful when you're tearful.
But you do believe me. Please say you do.
Yes. Yes, Amelie, of course I do.
Oh, Paul.
You think I'd take the word of a milk-clean water sop like Mr. Franchi? Darling, most certainly I believe you.
Oh, I'm so glad. It proves, Paul, that you love me. Darling, one of these days, I'll prove to you how much I love you. But deep down in my heart is a feeling which I can never explain. Oh, Paul, my darling. Tell me, did you bring back the pearls? The pearls you promised me?
Pearls? Yes, my pretty. I told you you'd have pearls from the Caribbean. Pearls to match those earrings which I bought in London. I have them here for you.
Oh, Paul.
I withheld them for a moment because I wanted your explanation. Naturally, this letter worried me. But what kind of a man is he to write a letter like this?
I told you, he's not quite sane.
All because of the love of you?
Yes, yes.
Or whether he's sane or not, he shall be punished.
Punished?
Naturally, darling. He's insulted you. He's insulted my wife. He cannot expect to escape scot-free.
But, oh, Paul, forget about it, please.
No, no, Amelie. I cannot pass a thing like this lightly. Where is this Louis de Franchi to be found?
Oh, Paul, don't let that trouble, please.
I insist, Amelie. He's insulted my wife, inexcusably and in a blackguardly fashion. I must have some satisfaction.
But that's impossible. You see, he's away.
Away?
Yes. He sailed away almost straight after our elopement. I don't know where he is, but he left Paris and he'll never come back.
Are you quite sure?
I swear it, Paul. I swear it.
You're not saying this, Amelie, just to avoid trouble.
Of course not. Naturally, if he were here, I'd be glad for you to punish him. But he's gone right away. Oh, Paul, my sweetheart. Forget about this odious Louis de Franchi. Think of you and me and those lovely pearls that you bought me. Pearls. In a fortnight, it'll be the opera season, and I shall be able to wear them, sitting forward in the box for all to see. Oh, Paul, you're the most wonderful husband any woman could have. I love you so much. so much.
Lily.
Fasten these pearls around my neck.
Awake at last.
Oh, it is you, madame.
Yes.
How long have you been here?
An hour or more. I was waiting for you to wake, child. Here is some milk and some chestnut bread. I baked it myself.
Oh, thank you. Why are you so good to me? Oh, madame, why?
You are my daughter, the wife-to-be of my son.
It is not because...
Because of what?
Because of the accident. I mean, you're not just being nice to me because you...
Because I did not kill you? Because you have recovered? No, Marianne. Had you died from the wound, it would have been the greatest tragedy of all in the De Franchi household. It would have set his son against his mother. It would have divided her family. And perhaps that would have been the end of the De Franchi. Here, drink your milk, Marianne.
Thank you, madame. You know, madame, now that I have seen Louis and Lucien together, I don't wonder that I made a mistake. It is difficult to tell one from the other, except that, well, there is a spiritual feeling, a something about one that does not belong to the other.
Yes, that is so. I, of course, can tell. I am their mother. You can tell now because you love one, and you know of the existence of the other. But before, when you did not know that there were two...
Oh, I was so unhappy when I thought that Lucien did not love me. What made us love each other, madame? Two people brought up to hate each other?
Perhaps that very factor. It is like the child to whom you say, keep your hand away from the fire, otherwise it will burn. Because you had been taught to hate Lucien, Lucien meant something in your life, a something to hate. But when you met Lucien, and he was not the man he was painted...
Oh, from the way my father talked, my uncle, all my cousins, I pictured Lucien as a monster. Someone with a hard mouth, dissolute, cruel. Instead, in the moonlight, I saw somebody when... Madame, I could talk of Lucien forever and ever.
Come in. Ah, Monsieur Godet.
The patient is awake?
Yes, Monsieur Godet. It seems that everybody has been waiting for me to wake.
He looks better. The last few days have made such a difference. Dr. Curie was amazed. When he left yesterday, he was very happy. He has no fears about you at all.
Perhaps I'm recovering quickly because I'm in love. Oh, I'm so impatient to get well, Monsieur Godet.
I don't doubt that.
I feel there is so much I've missed already. The last 3 years in my father's house, bitterness, quarreling, intrigue, when I could have had this.
Madame, I have news for you. The time has come when I must go back to Paris.
Oh, no, Monsieur Godet.
But I must. Monsieur Merrimer is waiting for me. There are several things that we have to discuss. His new book and my new play. And then we have so many notes to compare about Corsica. Oh,
but you are almost one of the family, Monsieur. But you will come back. You must.
Of course I will. Oh, there's some other news, but I think we'll leave Louis to tell you that. You think he's looking better, madame?
As well as can be expected, I suppose, Monsieur Goody. But I am very worried about Louis. He limps so painfully. He is so frail now, so weak. If only we could build him again to the strong, healthy man he was.
You know that can never be, madame. That was the doctor's verdict. However, don't worry about Louis. He's happier than he has been, much happier. Oh, here's the gentleman himself. We've been taking your name in vain, Louis.
Have you, Pierre?
Yes, and I wouldn't spoil your news.
Then you haven't told Mother? We've been talking, Mother, Pierre and I. It's about Paris.
Oh, about Paris?
As you know, I've settled in Corsica, you and my brother and Marianne all around me. Here will be my future life. In that future life, all I want to do is to make you happier than ever before. And there's one opportunity in bringing across to Corsica all my possessions.
All your possessions?
Yes. I have many thousands of francs worth of furniture, some silken hangings, and a beautiful writing table, Mother, which you would love, I know. And a long gilt mirror, which would go from the floor to the ceiling in the sitting room. It would look perfect there. All these things are in Paris, and I feel that they should be here in my home.
Oh, my son. So long as you are happy here and you never wish to leave us again, that is all I care about. Tell me, will Monsieur Godet send all these effects across from Paris?
No, Mother. You see, there may be difficulties. Some of my belongings are still in the house of my foster parents. I shall go across to Paris myself in the company of Pierre. It will be my last visit.
Captain Chateau Renaud is in Paris, Louis de Franchi. Perhaps that has no significance for you, because you are ignorant of the vengeance which was taken out on your behalf when Lucien masqueraded as yourself. What will happen when you journey across to Paris? There is an unexpected turn of events in the next enthralling episode of The Corsican Brothers.